Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Another blessed day in the Lord. This blessed Wednesday night in some parts of the world. It is Thursday morning. In other parts, it's Thursday evening. Well, no matter what time it is, this is another God's Word to Man broadcast. This is Brother Nate, and I welcome you. I thank God for you, no matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Now, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. At G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer, and then we go into the lesson. Amen. So wherever you're listening to me at, no matter what part of the world you're in, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together for his spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for being Lord and God in our lives. We want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us to petition you in faith, to come before you in humility, to make our requests known unto you. Our request this day, Lord God, is that your spirit would be with us. And not only let your spirit be with us, Lord, but let your spirit reveal to us the things that we don't see and understand. Father, we are in desperate need of the revelation of the Lord through your spirit today. So, Lord God, we humble ourselves before you and acknowledge that you are the all-wise one, and there is none more wiser than thee. So, therefore, Lord, tonight, Lord God, don't let us take this journey without getting something out of this lesson. Don't let us take this journey, Lord God, without some understanding of your word. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you. Thank God for you. You know that we're on Blog Talk Radio. And being on Blog Talk Radio, one of the things that we've been commissioned by Jesus Christ is to tell you, the listener, about the work that he's doing in these last days, in the sending of his angel from heaven. And he's sending his angel from heaven, who is carrying the words of the Lord to bring it to mankind. And we thank God for it. And this work, one of the things that he has assigned this angel to do, the Elijah, is to restore all things. Amen. And so we've been giving you the word of the Lord and what the Lord has to say to his people. They that will be of the bride. And we know that whenever the Lord speaks, he doesn't speak in vain. So whenever God speaks, we do or must do our best to give him all our attention. Amen. And once again, I'm going to point you to Jesus about this. Matthew 17, Malachi 4, Malachi 3, Acts chapter 3. Ask the Lord for yourself if this is true. Ask the Lord, have you been sending an angel who is bringing the words of the Lord to mankind? Ask him for yourself. So you had to worry about saying, well, I just believe it because Brother Nate said it. No, you'll be able to say, I believe it because the Lord revealed it unto me. Amen. Praise be to God. So the message tonight, as the Lord sent through his angel, the word of the Lord said, there's a crown. There's a crown. We're going to look into the word of God tonight. First, we're going to look at the word of the Lord. And Jesus sent his angel to tell us this. And the very important thing is not just there's a crown that the Lord is going to give. Now, I want you to understand this, but it's when he's going to give it. And I think, and I know personally that many times in the Christian community, one of the things we get mixed up about certain things God say is the timing. For example, we're preaching and teaching rapture, and we're talking about any day. we can be caught up. Well, you know, the Word of God does not say that. The Word of God does say we're going to be caught up. It does say that. But the timing. And now we are preaching the day that any day that we can be snatched up and gone. We don't have to see the great tribulation. We're not going to go through that time. Well, see, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God does not tell you that this we shall be called up to meet him in the air is to happen before the great tribulation. Amen. Praise be to God. So the Lord talks about this crown that he's going to give. And the thing about it, too, in his word, he actually tells when he's going to give it. Now, when I say when, I don't mean when as in numbers. There are some things God will give you numbers on, but for the most part, the Lord don't give a lot of numbers. You say, well, what do you mean? For example, he talks about Christ coming. He tells us different events that can reveal to us when he will come, but he doesn't say Christ coming October the 3rd, 2039. He don't give those kind of numbers. And I understand why, because remember, we got to walk by faith. And this is why God would tell you that you're going to go through, but many times he don't tell you how long. Every now and then he would throw numbers out there, but it's not a constant thing, okay? And so in his word today, when he sent the Elijah, he sent the Elijah with a word. I want to open up from the word of the Lord, and it is called the 30th message. And in and the reason why it's called the 30th message, which means this is the 30th time that Jesus has sent the Elijah. And he sent him January the 28th, 1933. Now, I've said it many times on the broadcast before, I don't have a problem giving you dates because I want you to ask God. There's nothing secretive or hidden that I'm trying to do. Neither was I instructed of the Lord to be secretive or hidden concerning his work. In fact, he told those who have accepted it, his word and the work that he's doing, to tell it to all people and nations, to tell it. And that's what we're doing today. Amen. So the 30th time that the Lord sent his angel, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah, he had something to say about this crown. Okay. Now, I want to read to you what he had to say about this crown. And this is what it says. This is what the angel of the Lord tells us what Jesus wanted him to say. Now, remember, before I go any further, angels of the Lord come at the appointed time of the Lord. They don't come on my time and they don't come on your time. We don't fill our calendars and say, listen, Elijah, Gabriel, Michael, we want you to come at this time. They come at the appointed time of the Lord. So rest assured. If you are anytime visited by an angel of the Lord, he hasn't come to you without God knowing it. In fact, he has come to you because God sent him. There is no angels walking around in heaven saying, you know what, I'm kind of bored today. I think I'll go visit Brother Nate. And he just up and take off. You know how some kids do today. They don't tell mom and daddy they're leaving the house. They just up and leave. And then somebody may tell mom and dad, say, hey, I just seen your son or your daughter at such a place. And they like, where is he doing way over there? They be like, you didn't know? No, I didn't know. I thought he was still in the house. Well, that's not happening in the kingdom of heaven, up there in the third heaven. That's not happening. There's no angel just up and taking off and leaving without God having sent him. You're not going to catch the Lord saying unto you, saying, what is Gabriel doing there? I didn't even know he left. If Gabriel come to you, God sent him. Amen. So this angel of the Lord, the Elijah, comes for this 30th time, brings a word from the Lord. And in this word, there is a mentioning of a crown. And not only is a crown mentioned, but it's told when this crown is going to be given. The word of the Lord said, thus says the Lord, you must all drink of the bitter cup, that you might know that which my son has suffered. For behold, now listen to this closely, the crown It's after you have fought the fight. Now, let's stop there for a minute. The crown is after you have fought the fight. He didn't say the crown is before you fight the fight. He said it's after you have fought the fight. Now, let's talk about a crown for a minute. What representing a crown can represent different things in Scripture. When I look at Mr. Webster and said, I need a definition of the word crown. One of the definitions that Mr. Webster gave me was a reward of victory or a mark of honor. A reward of victory or a mark of honor. That's what a crown can mean and represent. There's a Hebrew word called atara, which also means crown. And there's a Greek word that is stephanos, where the word crown, the original Greek word for the word crown, there is stephanos, which means a chaplet. Chaplet is more like a wreath around the head. It means a chaplet as a badge of royalty, a prize in the public games, or a symbol of honor, generally, but more conspicuously and elaborate than a simple fillet. So we see that a crown can represent a badge of honor, a symbol of honor, a reward of victory, and a mark of honor. And God said, when he sent the Elijah to tell us, he tells us that this crown is going to be given, okay, which is going to symbolize honor, victory, but it can only be given at a particular time. Something has to be done in order for it to be given. And one of the things he said that this crown is after. Everybody listen. After. It is after you have fought the fight. Wow. It is after you have fought the fight. Hallelujah. Now, before I go any further on that part, the first part he said, you must all drink of the bitter cup that you might know that which my son has suffered. Now, I want to say something to that before I go any further, because this crown, this giving of the crown, is connected with dealing with this bitter cup. And this bitter cup is the bitter cup of trial. And God said that we all, not some of you, must drink of it. He said all must drink of this bitter cup, to know what his son suffered for us. Now, I want you to understand and hear this. There's things you're going to know about the Lord, not only through just through his word, but through experience. I'm going to say that again. There's some things you're going to know about the Lord, not just through his word, but through an experience. You're going to have to experience to come to understand fully, just like he said, to know what his son has suffered. See, we get knowledge of it from the word, but we also going to get knowledge of it by going through, and then we really going to be able to relate. Hey, have you ever had people who went through the same thing you went through and they can really relate to you? Well, see, that's how it's going to be. Because, see, you didn't have to just tell them what you went through. But, see, if they have went through it, then they can relate to you of how you feel or what you're thinking. So, therefore, God said, we all must drink of the bitter cup. You know, you got some Christians think that they don't supposed to be tried. Amen. That, you know, when a trial comes, they say, oh, my God, Lord, what's wrong with you? What you doing? Why you leave me? Amen. That's their thinking. They're thinking that God is the worst person on the face of the earth because he's letting them be tested. But he tells us in the word that we're going to be tested. And he said, all must drink of the bitter cup. So it doesn't matter whether you're in the ministry or if you're sitting in the pews. According to the word of the Lord, we all must drink of the bitter cup. That's that bitter cup of trial, that we may know what Jesus suffered for us. And this crown that God's going to give, that's going to symbolize this honor and victory, hallelujah, is going to be given to you after you have fought the fight. Now, let's talk about for a minute, what fight is he talking about? He's talking about this crown is going to be given after you have fought the fight. Well, Lord Jesus, what fight you talking about? Well, we got to scrap with somebody? Do we need to go and train it like a literal boxer? What kind of fight is he talking about? Well, let's look at this. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at this fight, glory. Glory. Let's look at this fight that the Lord is talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 11 and 12, but our key verse, the answer to the question, is going to be found in verse 12. Amen. He said through the Elijah, and Elijah come to tell us what the Lord said, and he said, thus says the Lord, all must drink of the bitter cup. He said, but behold, I want you to see this. That's what the word behold is dealing with. Behold, see, the crown is after. If you listen, say after. It is after you have fought the fight. Not after you have looked at the fight, or not after you have ran away from the fight, but you got to fight the fight. Well, what fight, Jesus, you're talking about? And look at what Paul tells Timothy, verse 11 and 12. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Get this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed or confessed a good profession before many witnesses. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Your crown is going to be given after you have fought the fight of faith. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to walk it. Glory. This is a faith walk. And for you to overcome the challenges and the enemy coming at you, you got to fight the fight of faith. Hallelujah. He told him in verse 11, follow after these things. And one of them he named was faith. Follow after faith. Thank you, Jesus. There's no way. The word of the Lord lets you know. This fight that you're in to hold to your salvation, this fight that you're in is a fight of faith. See, he sent the Elijah to tell us that this crown is going to be after you have fought the fight of faith. See, you have some that's out there teaching once saved, always saved. Now, if that was true, you wouldn't have to worry about fighting nothing, okay? You wouldn't have to worry about it. In fact, if once saved, always saved was true, you don't even need to exercise faith once you get saved. For what? You automatically going to get in there. That's according to how they teach. They say you can never be lost. Well, see, that's not scripture. That's not the word of God. In fact, that's against the word of God. See, if you turn away from the Lord Jesus, turn away from the faith, turn away from the love of God, you can be lost again. But see, people don't want to, you know, and you got some people teaching contrary to this. That's not the word of God. It's not the word of God. And so the word of the Lord says, he had the Elijah to tell us that, behold, the crown is after, not before you fight the fight, but after. You fight the good fight of faith. Notice what Paul said. He said the good fight. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting in the fight of faith. It's worth it. It's a good fight. Because why? Because it makes you victorious. You understand? It's a good fight. Hallelujah to God. Halabashata. See, hallelujah. There's some who's trying to fight a without faith. That's why we're losing all the time. That's why we're losing all the time. Trying to fight without faith. We're trying to rely upon our own strength. We're trying to fight with our feelings. This is how I feel, and I'm going to do it this way. And then we lose it. Wah, wah, wah. The devil just putting the whooping left and right on us. And we like, Lord, you left us. No, he ain't left us. We leaving away from him. He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's worth it. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight to keep your faith. It's a fight. Why? Because all these challenges that's coming at you. The devil is bringing all these challenges and all this stuff. And it's a fight. It's a fight to hold your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This ain't easy pickings, people. It ain't easy picking. You know, that's why you got some people who is outside of Christ, and it's sad to say some people that's in Christ, think that being a Christian is nothing. You know, you got either the world and some think that as a Christian, you're supposed to be dumb and stupid and don't know nothing. And then you got some on the other side thinking that it's just flowing through the bed of roses. No challenge or nothing. Listen, that's the biggest person I respect is the Christian. A true Christian now. I ain't talking about that fake, phony, talking, all that stuff, rolling on the ground and getting up in the next minute, stealing from you and all that. I'm not talking about that so-called or those calling themselves a Christian. I'm talking about the true Christian, because the true Christian, he's fighting the greatest fight. So fight to keep your faith. I don't care if you're the biggest, strongest, muscle-bound man in the world. The greatest fight, the greatest act of strength is not you pushing a big 18-wheeler. Yeah, that's a good act of strength, but that's natural. Your greatest fight is the fight of faith. He says a good fight because it's worth it. It's worth fighting to hold your faith, to keep your faith. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 2. And we're still talking about this crown here. Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 10. And so the Lord, he sends a word to the church at Smyrna, which is for us today, for believers today. And I want you to look at what he said. Now, once again, he tells when he is to give this crown. But he comes out a little bit more to tell you what is the crown of. Okay. Hallelujah. Symbolizing victory and honor. Okay. The crown is after. What kind of crown? Well, we'll see what kind of crown. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 said, now look what it said. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, let's stop there. He didn't say, fear none of those things if you shall suffer. He said, which thou shalt suffer. The Bible tells us that that you being a Christian, all that live godly will suffer persecution. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And now some of you just thinking bad about the Lord because it happened. So-and-so family members found out you were saved. Now they're cracking all kinds of jokes on you. And now they turn from jokes to just persecute. They just talking about you and downing you and telling you you ain't nothing and you ain't this and that. And now you're upset with God because you said it's not supposed to be like this. That's why studying the word of God is important. That's why it's important. So he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. So he said, you're going to suffer. He said, but don't fear it. Don't fear it. He said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Wow. That ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, there go the crown of life. I'm going to give you the crown of life. But notice that the crown of life comes, hallelujah, after you do something. You look at these verses here. You're going to be tried. And then he said, you got to do something. You got to be faithful unto death. What? Faithful to who? To him. To hold to him. You got to be faithful. Okay? Hallelujah. And the Lord promised this crown of life. Glory. Jesus, I sense the Holy Ghost. See, after they have fought, remember what Paul told Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. And here in the 10th verse, he's letting them know that after they have fought the fight of faith, fighting the fight of faith when? Well, Jesus said, the devil going to cast some of you into prison. That's why over here in America, we ain't seen the highest level of persecution yet. Our brothers and sisters in the mother country, they looking at it, they walking in it, you name it. They are in the highest level of persecution. Some of them being killed. Some of them is being beaten and thrown in jail by the police. For what? Stealing? No. For what? For worshiping Jesus. And we over here in this country, man, just wow. But guess what? Some of this thing for the change. Watch. You already can see it. Any Christian that's getting together with God, you could start seeing the changes here in this nation where it's shaping up, where we've been experiencing this high-level persecution. Amen. Hallelujah. So this crown of life that the Lord speaks of, he said, be faithful unto death. Unto death. He said, be faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Glory. And one thing about the Lord, he warns you now. And man, can't nobody sit up there and say, well, you know, Lord, you didn't tell me that this stuff would happen. That's why you get in the Word. See, people, you know, they want to get at the Lord about what he hadn't told them and what he didn't tell them. And see, this is in his Word. But because you're so busy and don't have time to get in his Word, now you want to pick something at God to get mad at him about. It's your fault because you got the Word right there. See, many of you even got the Bibles. Bibles. In fact, I put Bibles with S. Some of you got more than one Bibles in the house and you don't know what none of them meant. Even when you carry the church, you come in Sunday, you just throwing it anywhere. And then if somebody visit you through the week, say, hey, you know, I need to look at your Bible a minute. Now you're sitting there with a frown on your face because you can't even remember where you put it. You tearing up the whole house, and the person that waiting on just looking at you and said, man, that got to be embarrassing. You don't even know where your Bible at. But when you last had it, where I had it this Sunday, where you put it, I don't know. And see, I don't know, it's becoming a popular thing because you used to just coming in the house and throwing it anywhere, which symbolized what? That you're not going to pick it up anymore until the next Sunday. Amen. And see, people are expecting to get the full package from God without having to go through anything. And God said it's not going to work. He said the crown of life, he said, be faithful to death. Be faithful to who? To Jesus. What else you got to do? Fight the good fight of faith. You're in a faith fight. It's a fight to keep your faith. Amen. The sinner man can't relate to that. I mean, they don't know about, they talk about faith, but see, they know natural faith. They don't know the God faith. They know that I believe it when I see it kind of faith. That's the natural faith. That's the Dalton Thomas faith. That's what they know. But they don't know the Abraham faith per se. Glory. And see, that's what we got to walk in, the Abraham faith. Hallelujah. This crown of life, God promised. See, it's going to be also a mark of honor, a reward of victory, glory, in what he about shatta, in overcoming. Glory to God. Listen, we're preaching and teaching rapture, and we're telling people, say, hey, we ain't going to see the great tribulation. And my question is this. If Jesus is to come back any day now, like we've been preaching and teaching, and that we don't have to see the great tribulation, What kind of God do we serve? Now, some of you may say, well, what do you mean by that question? The reason why I ask that question, because, for example, just example here in America alone. Now, if we're waiting to be snatched up at any time, won't have to see the Great Tribulation. Once again, what kind of God we serve? Why would he let our brothers and sisters in the other countries who's getting beaten and killed, some of them getting thrown in prison, and you think America News is reporting on it? No. They get beaten, thrown in prison, and all that for the name of Jesus' sake, going through the high-level persecution. We are over here in the sunshine, sometimes taking trips to the beach and all that, and talking about any day, you know, we're going to be raptured up. So, once again, why would the true and living God let some of his people go through the highest level of persecution and let the others go through the lowest level of persecution and still talking about we're going to be caught up? The word said that's a respectable person. And the word said God is not that. Amen. So God wants to try people. See, I've mentioned that to you before. Not just know anybody. He wants to try people. God wants some people that went through. And I can understand that with God, because I want somebody with me who went through or willing to go through, because they'll stand with me. You know, I don't want nobody with me that whenever we hit a hard time, you got to be hollering all the time and you ready to turn away from me. You know, for example, think about the children of Israel with Moses. On their way to the promised land, whenever they came across a hard block, what happened? They start complaining. They start saying, oh, you should have left us in Egypt. Why do you bring us out here to die? And they even got to a point, hey, let's get rid of, let's kill the man. Let's kill the leader here, Moses. Let's take him out. People that wasn't willing to go through nothing. I want somebody, you know, standing with me. See, that's who I would rather. I'd rather have somebody standing with me who has been through or willing to go through. Yeah, and still hold a righteousness. Not someone, you don't want someone you got to worry about any second now they'll turn on you and leave you and drop you. Amen? You know, like I said, it kind of remind me in school, there were some guys in school, you know, they had a car. They can drive to school. And it's amazing when you have a vehicle how many, quote, friends you can get, especially you giving them a ride to school. But then whenever something happened to that car, some of those same friends wouldn't even be around. They wouldn't even hang around. As long as old boy had the car, oh, man, we're going, hey, that's my buddy. Blah, blah, blah. We jumping in the car. Blue, give me a ride. Blah, blah, blah. But your car in the shop now, you got to walk. We'll see you at school. Someone we wouldn't even walk with. Now, Earth, I have a good best friend. We grew up together. And see, we didn't have no car to ride to school in. But we walked together. We walked together in the rain, the cold, the snow, you name it. And see, he stuck with me. He wasn't the type of guy that said, oh, man, it rained out there, man. Man, let me tell you something. You just going to have to go on. I'm going to find a ride for myself. He wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. We stuck together. Once again, rain, cold, sleep. Man, I remember we used to be walking to school. Man, it was so cold, pitiful. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't in Chicago cold like I used to live in. No, but it was cold enough, okay? Amen. See, God wants to try people. Because a tried people that came through, they show you their faithfulness. When they can go through being tested and still remain with you, oh, they faithful. When they can go through and not turn on you, they're faithful. That's why God wants to try people, amen? Glory to God. Now, let's go to James chapter 1. Still talking about this crown. And God had the Elijah to tell us, this crown is going to be given after you have drink the bitter cup. The bitter cup of trial. This crown of life ain't going to be given before that. Hallelujah. But it's going to be after you have fought the fight. What? The good fight of faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 12. The word of God said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Let's stop right there for a minute. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Hallelujah. For he is, for when, not if. Ain't no if there. He said, for when he is tried. See, that's what God's saying to you tonight, believers. He said, if you are tried. He said, when you are tried. And let you know it's going to happen. If it ain't happened yet, it's going to happen. He said, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, when he going to receive the crown of life? When he's tried. Not before he's tried. When he's tried, that's following after the trial, he's going to receive his crown of life. Get this, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's a promise from the Lord to them that love him. And those that love him is going to endure temptation. When you endure temptation, that means you have to stay under. That means to remain or to undergo, that is to bear trials, okay? See, when you not only you showing faith, but when you love the Lord, oh man, you gonna stick with him. Hallelujah! When you love the Lord, he said faith in 1 Corinthians 13. He said faith, hope, charity, these three. Got to have it, people. You got people. See, it's gonna be exposure. Or who for real and who ain't. You got people today in the service. Oh, I love the Lord. Then the first bad report they get, where's the Lord? He left me. And then blah, blah, blah. You're like, man, you just spoke in service how you love the Lord. Now you don't want to hear down the bottom. What's up? Hallelujah. The crown. Life. God said he promised. He said, but I want you to see that this crown is going to be given after you have fought the fight of faith. Not before, people, but after. Okay? Because remember, God is not raising spoiled kids. You know, you have some kids that, you know, when you have some spoiled kids, they don't want to wait. They don't want to work to get the reward. They want the reward before they work. Now, how many of you have you ever done that? Have you ever had something for, let's say, your child or your niece or something like that, or somebody else's child, and you promised them a reward to do a certain work, and you gave them a reward before they did the work? Have you noticed how that worked out? Some of them did half of it. They didn't have to work. Some of them just didn't do a good job at all. Why? Because they feel like, hey, I got the reward now. What do they need of me doing the work? Amen. And if God gave you that quote, that crown he talked about, before you fought the fight, you wouldn't even fight it. Because you'd be like, I already got the reward, now what I'm fighting for. Okay? Amen. Those of you that working on jobs now, when they pay you, they pay you after you do the work. If they paid you before you do the work, every time, most of what you think going to happen, nobody going to be putting no real effort in doing that job. And, man, I already got the reward. I already got the wage. Need me working hard for. Okay? Why they ain't going to pay you before you do the job. Got to do the job. Okay? Hallelujah. That's what Elijah is sent to tell us. And God said, hey, you know, there's a crown of life I promise. And it's promised to them who love me. It ain't promised just anybody. Okay? But to them who love me, I promised them a crown of life. But they gotta, you know, when you love the Lord, go fight the good fight of faith. Okay. You know, just like what Jesus told the church at Smyrna, and he said, fear not the things you should suffer. God said that you're going to suffer some things. Because your gender? No. Because your race? No. Why? Because your stance in Christ. And he said some things you're going to suffer. There are those who were killed back in the days of the early church. Oh, man, I know they're getting their crown. Now, like I said, you buy the book Christian Martyrs of the World, how some were burned at the stake, head cut off, thrown in the ring with animals and killed. But guess what? They're going to get their crown. They endured it, the temptation, without giving in. They remained in a position with the Lord. Because one of the threats of the highest level of the persecution by the devil is to get you to renounce God. That's the reason why it's there. And I'm telling you, people, today, we better start getting ready. It's too much foolishness going on, okay? Way too much foolishness. Too much, I'm too busy. But as soon as the crisis come up, oh, Lord, where you at, Lord? You know, wow. And see, people want reward from the Lord before they put in the work. It's not going to happen like that. You might as well just cut that out. I mean, God is not crazy. He know if he gave you this thing beforehand, what kind of effort you going to put in to try to do anything? None. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when the Lord sent the Elijah, give us this word. Because once again, you got people among the body of Christ teaching different things, especially when they teach that, hey, you can never be lost. Like I said, I ran across some people who was telling me that. And I asked them, I said, so you saying I can go back and sin? And oh, yeah, you know, the blood of Jesus covers you and you can never be lost. And, you know, like I said, y'all, I had been saved probably that time, maybe a year. And I knew better than that. I just knew in my spirit that wherever they got that from, it didn't come from the Lord. We can rest assured on that. It didn't come from God. Hallelujah. We all got to drink of the bitter cup. But this crown of life God promised, this crown, you ain't going to get it until after you have fought the fight of faith. It's a good fight. Very, very challenging, you know. Amen. You know, just by being on Blog Talk Radio and some of the subjects I have done since being on Blog Talk Radio was a fight of faith. I mean, I was talking to another brother today. He's a minister. And like he said, you know, some people don't know what pastors go through. You know, some of y'all think that we just walk up to the pulpit every Sunday, just preach. I guess just like we just, all we do is go home and sit around, think of something to say on Sunday. No, it's a fight of faith many times just to come before you in the pulpit. Just to bring that word. It's a fight of faith. Because sometimes the word gives the word that God gives the pastor, when he preaches, going to have many people in the congregation ready to stone him. And many times the pastor know it, okay? But yet still, he got to make a choice whether he'll obey God or whether he'll listen to man. It's a fight of faith. And me and the brother was talking today, then me and another brother was talking, and I sent the Spirit of the Lord on me to tell him something, especially about what he's going to learn in the Word of God and how he needs to be prepared. Because listen, when God give you revelation, I'm talking about true revelation, people. We ain't talking about and a true living God talking to you. We ain't talking about no trumped up, made up stuff. But when God give you revelation, The next thing you have to be is prepared in the spirit to tell it. Because it is not like you think. A cake in the park, a walk in the park, as they say. Easy as pie, none of that. Because some of the people that you're going to encounter when God have you preaching or teaching this revelation, it's going to get fiery mad at you. That's why some people, they always accusing pastors of picking on. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some pastors out there that do it. But they feel like just because they was in service and the pastor started preaching on a certain thing that they are connected to, they say, oh, he's picking on me. And he was looking at me when he said it. I said, well, how did you know? How do you not know that that was something that the Holy Ghost gave him? See, glory. See, God got a way of getting your attention. And sometimes God will have the people preaching a sermon that is connected to you. So when the pastor get up there, he start preaching against fornication and how you need to be married and all that. And here you are sitting in the congregation, you and your boyfriend or you and your girlfriend is in the congregation, and you know that y'all been shacking and fooling around and doing the no-no. And so now he's preaching it, but let's say he don't know. And God had given him a sermon. So I wonder if you can preach on fornication. And he preaches on the next thing. You know, you're going, oh, I don't like him. Why? Because he's picking on me. How he picking on you? Well, you know, he was preaching about fornication. It looked like he looked at me. I said, well, how do you know that God had given him that? And God's using him to get the message to you. But see, you looking at him and you mad at him and you say he's picking. Every preacher that's doing that is not picking. Some of these ministers is given a direct word from the Holy Ghost in their spirit to preach on such and such a thing. What has happened, you are convicted now because it's talking about you. You're trying to do the Adam thing. You're trying to hide from God. Can't hide from him. You can go to the deepest depth. Bury yourself in the deepest part of the ground. You never hide from it. You can go out there and float in space and float out to the middle of nowhere in space. You would not get out of his sight. You can't get away from it. We're not going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for this day. And like I said, before I came on this broadcast, today it was becoming... It looked like he was shaping up to a fighting a good fight of faith. Just come on and broadcast. But see, some of y'all don't understand. It's a fight of faith just to come on and broadcast. You know? Because some of these things that God has given telling to you, the listener, the devil don't want me to tell it. So he's bringing up all kinds of, oh, my Lord. I remember when I hadn't too long been on Blog Talk Radio. And there was a line of things coming up. Sometimes I remember when my daughter, she would get sick real bad about sometimes it'd be like a couple hours before it's time to go on broadcast. Sometimes it'd be like I have 5 minutes left on the broadcast, she'd get real sick. All kinds of challenges. And what the devil was trying to do, he was just trying to break me to make me give up and quit. Amen. But I said none of that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your power is matchless. No one can defeat you. Even in a wrestling match, it's still a mismatch because no one even has the strength to make you flinch. You are that powerful, and none will be more powerful than thee. You are the undefeated champion. And forever you will be. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I thank you, Lord, for this day you've made and created. And blessing me with this opportunity to come on this broadcast and to deliver this message. And I pray tonight, Lord, that whoever was listening was touched by this message in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you. And I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for the word today. And the Lord say the same. Listen for the broadcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertisements. Praise be to God. So I thank God for all of you. This is Brother Nate with another God Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.